103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Ooh, 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is The Sod Show, and it's Brian Green and Peter Donegan with you until 3:30 this afternoon. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Brian. Great to see you personally again, face to face.
It is indeed good to see you in the studio. It is a change to see you in your shorts in the winter time. It's at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and info@sodshow.com if you want to get in touch during the week on the OWL email. What's on the program today, Peter?
Today on the line we have a fantastic guest, and we are going to head straight there. Chris Crooker, have I got that right, Chris?
You have, yes.
Chris, can you explain to the wonderful people of Ireland and UK and abroad what it is that you do, I guess, for a living, or how would I best know you?
Well, I am the events manager at a horticultural charity called Perennial. And Perennial is a wonderful, wonderful organisation that helps people within the horticultural industry. We are there to step in case anyone has any problems, be it ill health, maybe monetary problems. Obviously, there are so many different issues out there that we can step in and help through our team of caseworkers. So we're sort of the trade charity for the horticultural industry in the UK.
Give me a bit of background on this, Chris, if you could. How long is Perennial on the go? When did it first start? What's its history?
It started in the 19th century, so way back when, in 1839.
Wow.
A long time.
Just to put in context, that is before the potato famine.
Yeah, a long, long time ago. And it was born, really, I think, with the great estates and these lovely, huge gardens that came with them. And it was set up by the gentry to really look after retired horticulturalists, so the retired gardeners of their estates. And now, looking at us in 2016, we are still doing the same, but obviously with modern day issues and problems, our own organisational role has sort of tweaked and changed over the years. But very much we are still there for anyone who needs us. But I suppose the greatest change is it's not just for retired horticulturalists. We're there for everyone, regardless of what their problem might be.
Let's just break this down, if I can, slightly, Chris. So on one hand, I know I was at Glasnevin Cemetery Museum, and I was going through some of the records of reasons why people back at the turn of the 1901, 1902, 1903. And in part of that, a lot of the records were kind of saying that, it was a gangrene, 23 years of age. It was a toothache, 22 years of age. And I was baffled by, all of these things that are easily fixed. Now, I would gather in the days of, and as was explained to me at the time, if you had gangrene, they kind of, gave you, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but not far off the mark, fair to say, it was take a shot of whiskey, bite down hard, the legs coming off, and hopefully you pull through, and a lot of them kind of didn't. Was it that, let's say, Peter, me, got injured in a garden, and I got gangrene, and you were there? Sorry, not you, obviously, Chris. Yeah. You're a lot younger than that. But that Perennial would have been there to help them and their families. Is that a fair assessment or suggestion?
Well, we obviously do step in with workplace injuries. It might be that someone has a long term illness. So if your job and your career really counts on you being healthy and physically active, and that's taken away from you, obviously that's completely devastating and can completely turn your life upside down, and not only for yourself, but if you've got dependents as well, if you've got young kids. So our caseworkers would work on a case-by-case scenario, but we would step in, whether it would be by providing confidential advice, it might be support, it might be financial assistance. It's whatever it would take to get people back onto their feet and to help rebuild their lives.
So let me try and give you a different angle on this. Could you give me an approximate case study from, let's say, about 120 years ago, and give me an approximate case study from, let's say, within the last 4 years? Is that a fair way to ask it?
Well, I think in the past, it would be, because we dealt mainly with retired horticulturalists, it would be that once they had finished their career on the estate, and for the most part, they would have been there from maybe a young lad, sort of a trainee, worked all their lives up until the point that they couldn't, up until their bodies just couldn't anymore. And then really, it wouldn't be uncommon for those people to find themselves potentially even starving. You know, there was no sort of welfare system to look after them. So in that case, it would probably be more monetary support. I mean, obviously, there'd be very, very varied cases, but quite possibly more of a monetary support there once they were in their years of retirement. But nowadays, it could be, that someone might be battling illness, financial hardship, bereavement, disability. So it's much more sort of the modern day problems that, we find in the world today. But obviously, they can all have different and varying impacts on people's career, mental health, the ability to look after their families. So we would step in. It might not even be financial. It might be sort of practical help. It might be, giving a bursary to buy a bit of machinery, or, something that would help someone get back on their feet. So it's really amazing, actually, how we do step in. And we've been sort of told that we are real a life belt for so many people, which is, fantastic to hear.
We'll get to all of the positives in just 1 minute, Chris. And to those of you listening at home, I do apologise. You all know we are the happiest garden radio show on the planet, and I promise you we will get there. But I guess when I tried to explain to friends of mine, did you ever hear about perennial? And they were kind of saying no. And I don't just mean in Dublin and Ireland. I mean abroad in the UK and as far away as South Africa and Australia. And we're talking on a massive. You ever heard of this? No. Do you know what they do? No. Google them. See if you can find out. Come back to me. Yeah, and they couldn't entirely say it to me. I guess from briefly conversing with Laura and also with a good friend of yours and mine, Darren Jack, yeah. Darren kind of gave me a little bit of a better in about that. Did you find, Chris, if it's okay to ask you this, did you find the last, let's say, 6-7 years from when the big dip of 08 kind of came along and the bad weather of 2010-11 and the UK and Ireland got absolutely battered and there were minus 18 Celsius on Christmas Day and that winter lasted pretty much 6 months. I mean, mentally, to be fair, if you are self-employed in horticulture in Ireland, UK or that kind of weather region, you were unemployed whether you liked it or not. Did you find that you had more calls on you than you had ever seen before around, let's say, those 5 years?
I would say that the weather is playing an increasing role in this because, I mean, lots of parts of the UK are currently flooded, which obviously is going to affect people's livelihood. So I'd imagine that the statistics have spiked, as you say, rapidly in the last few years. But not only that, we as an organisation are, getting out to shows a lot more, be it trade shows or the flower shows. So our own, sort of promotion of ourselves is out there more and more. And you mentioned, people like Darren, he's one of our grubby gardeners. So it's a group of horticulturalists that come together and do lots of sort of fundraising challenges to raise money, to raise our profile. So I think all these things have really helped us to get our name out there. And, it's funny now that the horticultural industry is actually quite a close-knit industry. So once people have heard of us and have heard, amazing stories or potentially have come across someone who has benefited from seeking help from us, the word quickly spreads, and we're finding more and more that people know who we are, and they're coming to our shows and events. You know, we run events as well as fundraisers, and we're finding more and more that people are realizing what we can do, which is fantastic, because the more people that hear about us, the more people we can help and advise.
Chris, I was, and very gratefully so, invited to your main party soiree event,
yes.
The happiest gardener's party in the planet that I have ever heard. And talking to Darren, I noted that I saw some of another good friend of mine, Kitty, I saw some of her photographs appear with the,
oh, yes.
With the beautiful, very beautiful and eloquent good friend of ours, James Wong.
Yeah.
I'm jesting, I know, James, you're listening. But I genuinely apologise that I couldn't make it, but work had to logically come first, and I sent James a note. I think he thought that I was going to be there, and I sent him a note saying, listen, I'm really sorry, the electricity bill has to be paid, my man, but I'm trying to organise, I guess, a delayed after party afterwards, but happiness makes it a hell of a lot easier to throw cash into somebody else's hands and say, here you go. But they were beaming smiles and so happy to hand over for 2000. And we are not that far away, and we live in the internet age, and people can listen back to this in podcast land in iTunes. What is the perennial annual party?
Well, it's like you say, it's an annual event where people across the industry come and see the work, hear about the work that we do. So we give an update of the year past. We do some presentations where we honour and show our appreciation to people that have gone above and beyond, helping us, either whether it's raising money or raising our profile. And really, it's a great way to help spread the word more about our organisation. But it's also a big thank you as well to everyone in the room, because the support in the room is ridiculous. It was just amazing to see. We had so many perennial partners there. Perennial partners are our corporate supporters that help us by donating sort of sums of money, sort of it's an annual donation. We launched our diamond partner, which is now at the highest level on the night. And on the night, the worshipful company of gardeners came through as our first diamond partner. We had lots of other people sign up to the event. So it was just an extraordinary night, where we also have an auction and a raffle as part of the proceedings. And I think that raised in excess of £12,000 as well.
Wow.
And the whole evening itself raised in excess of 30. So it was just a fantastic evening. And as you say, everyone is just full of happiness and, you know, meeting old friends, having the opportunity to meet new ones as well. And it's always a really, really lovely event. So, yeah, we had a really, really good time.
And my sincere thanks to Laura and Darren for extending that invite. I know it came from Laura.
You'll have to come next year. We're sorry you couldn't come, but there's always next year.
Yeah, well, it gets very dark in Ireland without the lights on, and Thomas Edison can vouch for that one. Chris, just while we're on the subject, Chris, for those listening, if they're a company in, and I know we have a huge amount of listeners in the UK,
yeah.
But if you're in the UK and you own a horticultural company and you're looking in the corner and you realise that next to the filing cabinet there is a huge bag of cash, I don't know, it's a hypothetical conversation, Chris, let's just run with this, and
yeah.
They decide,
yep.
I like that podcast, that Donegan guy, he sounds like he's got a face for radio, let's give this girl, Chris, some of our hard-earned shekels. How much do they need to become a partner as, let's say, a minimum entry level, or you don't have to disclose that, but how much do they need? £5,000? Would £5,000 get you in?
£5,000 would be fantastic. That's at the top level. So,
wow.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's obviously small companies that join that wouldn't be able to join us at that level. But certainly there's another option. There's anything from 250 up to 5,000. And actually, no, I lie. The bronze membership is £100.
Oh, hold on, Chris. All right, okay, so let's put this down. If you're listening to this podcast, okay, it's a podcast. If you listen to this on podcast and you're in the UK or Ireland and you've got £300, hold on, make that, yeah, 300, oh, let's go, you want to impress your good lady, £350, right? How's about that? You want to impress your good lady, at Sod Show on Twitter, I will put you directly in touch with Chris. She will accept your phone call and you can give her your hard-earned cash. How's about that?
Well, it's
that simple. And you will happily take it and you can get the photograph with Chris and it'll look great in your mantelpiece. And we will write you a separate blog post and interview you after on the Sod Show as part of that deal.
We'll match the payment.
if you match the payment,
you are going to edit that out of the show. We'll do a deal with you, Chris. If you turn around a day or a gardening company based in the UK is part of the deal, we'll give them a full show on the Sod Show. We'll interview them for you happily.
People get in touch.
Well, that's the way it works. Okay, so that's the first part. That's the 350 to 5 grand. I've got too much money part. The next bit is for those who are thinking of going to that party and maybe taking a selfie with me next year, Chris. And I know I'm a big draw.
Yes, I'm sure you are. Well, I know you are.
Well, thanks very much, Chris. I'll send you on the money after.
We'll add you into the auction, shall we, for next year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. To jeepers, don't set Michael Perry all in the one go, but off you go, Chris. No, I'm joking. It's all good. How much do tickets cost for the main gig?
Well, again, there's different packages, but round about £55.
Good value.
It's really good value. I mean, we were at the Spectacular Skyloft, which is the most stunning venue in London. There was bowl food, there was a live band, Slam were playing for us, amazing music, we had an auction, we had a raffle, Andrew Fisher Tomlin was the auctioneer, we had speeches, presentations, so it's a jam-packed evening and it's a lot of fun.
Your auction caught my eye very much. One of the prizes in there was, it involved Wimbledon. These are the kind of things that money just can't buy, Chris. Can you give me an idea of some of the prizes? And again, people might be listening to this and saying, well, actually, we can't give you the 350 quid, 5 grand, but we could do X for you. Tell me the Wimbledon one.
Well, the Wimbledon one, we managed, with the help of the Wimbledon Foundation, to get a signed copy of the official Wimbledon book by John Barrett, and that was signed by Andy Murray. But along with that lot, there was a private tour with the head groundsman, Neil Stubley, for four, and also afternoon tea. So an absolutely fantastic lot. Another one that was really popular on the night was Eddie Stobart, the trucks. Actually name a truck. Now, there's something like a 3-year waiting list for that. And, you know, we managed to get the lot. Again, they wanted to support us, so donated that to our auction, and there was a lot of bidding in the room for that. So it's really either behind-the-scene type tours or maybe holidays to exclusive venues. So we had, amazingly, a 5-night luxury stay at Richard Branson's private game reserve in South Africa.
No way.
So we had just incredible, incredible lots. So we were so, so pleased to have such amazing and generous support. But not only that, I mean, if you didn't have that kind of money to spend at the auction, we also had an amazing raffle. So for just £1 a ticket, you could win a luxury B&B stay at Hever Castle, or you could go and see Matilda the Musical in London for two. You know, you could go and have afternoon tea at an exclusive London hotel. So we had just a vast array of prizes. And it was just great. It was very sort of fun and frenzied part of the evening. But lots of people walked away with, you know, amazing lots and some amazing raffle prizes.
I have to say, Chris, you are the only horticultural gardeners party to put the Sod Show Christmas party that happened in Dublin to shame. You are the only one to pip us to the post, Chris. And we do invite you over and extend that arm across for 2016. In fact, no problem at all. We might be doing a Christmas party next week in London, it apparently seems. Brian?
Yes, the non-gardener here, Brian. Chris, you mentioned you do events.
Yes.
Of the non-fundraising type, would you be doing awareness, advocacy, prevention is better than cure? What kind of events are you doing other than the fundraising?
Well, the events that I manage for the organisation are, we do exclusive garden tours for sort of the garden-loving public. We try to get into gardens that are rarely open to the public, and usually a head gardener would come round and take an exclusive group of people round, you know, exclusive tour, and we do a nice lunch. So that's a fantastic way for us to raise money, and it's also grounded in our roots. So we do lots of, you know, walled nurseries, walled gardens, you know, spectacular, spectacular places. So this year, for example, Sir Roy Strong has opened up the Lascett Gardens for us, which is amazing. He's done so before in the past, and that's always a very popular occasion. We're going to the Inner and Middle Temple Gardens in London. We go to Eton College and Winchester College. So colleges, you know, they don't usually have their gardens open, but the head gardeners will open them for us so that we can, you know, raise our profile but also raise some funds. And then going back to our wonderful grubby gardeners, quite a lot of the grubby gardeners will get involved in our sporting events. So we have places in the British 10K, we have places in the London to Brighton bike ride, the Royal Parks half marathon. And for 2016, we're really pushing the Nuts Challenge, which is a 5K assault course, which is happening in September in Surrey. And we're trying to get as many horticultural organisations there on the day to kind of, you know, fight amongst themselves and see who, you know, takes glory on the day. So that's a really exciting event for us for 2016.
It sounds like there's a lot of social side to this for gardeners.
There really is. I think gardening is quite the social thing, isn't it? I mean, I'm not in any way a horticulturalist, but when I joined the organisation about a year ago, that's what really struck me about the organisation, is how friendly it is and how everyone sort of looks out for everyone else. So it's brilliant. Whenever we do a fundraiser, we have lots of familiar faces bringing in new people as well to us. And it's always such a lovely event, and everyone has such a good time, as well as, you know, looking at the more serious aspect of our work and how important it is for us to raise money. Because without raising money, you know, our caseworkers and our services part of the team can't do their job. And that's really why we're here.
First came across you, Chris, and to their credit, I have to double underline that, but to their credit of the Grubby Gardeners, they were the reason that I came across Perennial, and I was absolutely blown away by their generosity, the generosity of Michael Perry, who, on a genuine serious note, Michael, I have such respect and such regard for you and the work that yourself and the guys are doing. In part, as I noted to Darren Jack, I didn't realise he had such a fine bottom. They did, please don't all laugh at once, but they did do the nudie calendar, and I kind of heard, I heard nudie calendar and I kind of went, oh for God, not this again. And then you see it and you're kind of going, fine. And there is that. We have been trying to get Michael on the show, and we will do, and we deal with that when and if we get to talk to him. However, how did the Grubby Gardeners, from a Perennial's perspective, how did the Grubby Gardeners all kick off? Did they approach, did Michael approach you? Did somebody say, we've got an idea?
Was kind of speaking to one of the team, and it, you know how these things are, you have a conversation and it kind of evolves, and then by the time you know it, it kind of snowballs, and then, you know, there are so many grubbies now, and like you say, they do crazy things for us. They take their kit off so they can do a calendar. They actually, I think they were on Loose Women promoting the calendar, and that calendar you know, adorned many a garden shed, I'm sure. So it's just amazing what they'll get up to. And Michael, as well as Darren, and, you know, I could name check so many people, Andrew Wayne, Claire Vokins, David Lewis, all these people come back time and time again and take part in events and raise sponsorship or give us their time and help us at shows or help us at events by, you know, volunteering. So it is amazing. And the fact that I'm talking to you now, as you say, has come from us being supported by the Grubby. So that just shows you the power of, you know, word of mouth and partnerships and connections and relationships. And that's totally how it works.
It is a real credit to the Grubby Gardeners. And it is indeed. And you're right. The horticultural industry is that small. The community feel that is there is phenomenal. I genuinely from the heart was upset that I wasn't able to go to the party, and the photographs did not help in making me feel any better. I genuinely mean this, Chris. But on a serious note, Chris, we need to solve this and we need to sort it out. There has not been an Irishman's bottom in any grubby gardener's calendar, and I'll bite, I might have a bad tan, and not an all-over onesie kind of a tan,
right,
Chris. But we need to talk about this. How are we going to fix it?
Well, I think we probably should.
I think we should too. I've never really paid my own bottom a compliment, but there we go.
Well, do you know what? We can start planning for the 2017 edition, can't we?
It'll be a sellout, Chris. It'll be a sellout. Hey, what's the plans for the rest of 2016?
Well, so much. We've got we're at the flower show, so we're at Malvern, Chelsea, Hampton Court. We are doing our exclusive garden tours. We've got all those fundraisers that are happening this year. The development managers will be at all the trade shows up and down the country. We've got legacy events planned in the pipeline. It's just lots of new stuff, lots of programs that are annual that come back year on year. But lots of exciting stuff ahead for us for 2016.
Okay, and the big gig is obviously the if you have a calendar or one of those wall planners, stick it on. Get it tattooed onto your hand. It's about the first, second week in January every year, and you will find me there holding a picture of myself on a calendar on my arse, my Irish badly tanned arse sticking somewhere there with the sunshine beaming onto it. Chris, if people on a serious note want to get in touch, how do they do that?
Can I firstly say, now that you've actually said that and that's out in the public domain, that's almost like signing a contract, isn't it?
Apparently. Oh, hold on a second. I didn't know it was going to work out like that.
Listen,
if it's good enough for Michael Perry and Darren Jack, it's good enough for
me,
my man.
Exactly. Yeah, but if people do want to get in touch with us, it might be that they want our help. It might be that they want to fundraise or volunteer or look at the corporate partnership scheme. So I would advise the first thing to do is go to our website, which is www.perennial.org.uk. But you can get in touch with us on 0800 093 8510 as well. And we'd love to hear from people.
Okay, you're also on the Twitter. You have the Facebook as well. If you're unsure of any of those details at all, and you're listening to this in podcast, hit the middle button on your iPhone, head straight to your Twitter account @Sodshow, and we'll put you directly in touch with Chris. Chris Crooker, thank you so much for your time. It has been a real genuine pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you at the Photography Day the National Photography Day of Peter's Arse. And on a very serious note, I genuinely will look forward to the perennial national party that's going to take place in January 2017.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to meeting you too then in due course.
You will indeed.
I'll get something in a diary soon.
You will. And Chris, you'll keep in touch with us, won't you?
Absolutely.
A pleasure, my dear. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And that's it. We're out of time again. Just time to tell you that you can get in touch on Twitter @Sodshow. He just said that, didn't he? And you can get the Facebook, The Sodshow, on Facebook. And info@sodshow.com is the email address. We're back next Friday at 3 p.m. Catch us on the podcast after tea time. That's at sodshow.com. And on iTunes, you can give us a review. Anything else I left out, Peter?
I don't think so. No. I mean, if you want to send us cake and stuff, you know, just sodshow.com, you'll get my address. Carrier pigeons, it's all
He's
good.
Back to cake. Thanks to Chris, and we are back next Friday at 3. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you, Brian. Bye-bye.